Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. The relief of not having to chop wood with that murderous old axe is wonderful. It arrives in the camp, all cut to right lengths, and all we have to do is divide it out to the different sections of the camp. It is also another way for the men to send notes to their wives. Every now and then, someone finds a note tucked away in a piece of split wood, and there's great excitement when it's delivered. The other day, Blanche and I were sorting out the wood, when Blanche found a note for us. Oh, you better hurry, Blanche. There's going to be a storm. Hey, Blanche.
Watch it.
We'd better hurry. There's going to be a storm.
But it's bright sunlight. What are you talking about?
Well, look over there. You see that little cloud? I bet we get a downpour in a few minutes.
I hope you're right. I'd like a shower after working all the morning.
Hello, here's a note.
Well, who's it for? Who's it for, Blanche?
Look, it's for us. The Australian sisters.
Well, open it.
Will I open it?
Blanche, didn't you hear what I said?
No, I didn't, Jeff.
Does your ear still ache?
Not much. I'm getting used to it. I think the hearing is going in it.
Oh, Blanche.
Oh, it may only be temporary. There's one thing about it, though. When I want to sleep and there's any noise, I just lie on my good ear and I can't hear a thing.
Well, that must be why you didn't hear me just now. I'm on your bad side.
Now, let's have a look at this note. Oh, how wonderful.
What's it say?
Listen, we are sending you 3 fowls on ration truck.
3 fowls? Oh, I can't believe it. Is it signed?
I bet it's from our boys.
No, it's from the Dutchman in the men's camp.
Well, come on, let's tell the others.
Oh, what about the rest of the world?
Oh, we'll do it later. Anyway, here comes the storm.
Whew. Listen to that thunder trot.
I love storms, don't you, Wim?
No, not the noisy ones.
Oh, the more noise, the better. It's so dramatic.
I can do without the drama. Oh, it looks as if Jeff and Blanche don't like it either. Look at them, tearing over here like mad.
They're amazing, those two. I don't know where they get their energy from. They're loping along like a couple of greyhounds.
That's just what we look like, all of us. Underfed greyhounds.
Oh, made it. Here comes the rain. Let's see who's inside.
Well, Trot's here and Wynn.
What's all the rush?
We've had a note. Oh, wait till I catch my breath.
Oh, me too. Puppy like a grandpa's.
A note? Where from? The Dutchman at the men's camp.
We found it in the wood they sent over.
Well, quick, what's it say?
They're sending us 3 fowls.
On the ration truck.
You mean just for us?
Uh-huh.
3 whole fowls?
Yes, here's the note.
Oh, that's really fine of them. When's the ration truck due? Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, but I suppose it depends who's on it. Huh? I mean, not all the Japs will bring stuff into us.
Oh, I do hope it is on tomorrow. I can hardly wait to have a piece of chicken again.
I wouldn't count on it being chicken truck.
I wouldn't care if it's old hen, it'll be meat.
Our luck was in. The next day, the ration truck arrived, and on it were our 3 fowls. It was raining again, so we'd caught quite a lot of water to cook with, and the cooks were waiting to pop the fowls into the pot.
Who's gone down to get our presents from the truck, Jeff?
Trot went. She said she couldn't wait to get her hands on them. Wynne's watching for her to come back.
Any sign of Trot yet, Wynne?
No, not yet. I'll call you when. Oh, yes, here she comes.
Come on, Blanche, let's go and meet her.
Oh, just look at that rain. Trot will have to swim through that puddle.
Oh, where is she?
There.
She's got them. Hmm? Oh, they've still got their feathers on.
Oh.
And how's she carrying them, for goodness sake?
By the legs. They must be tied together.
Oh, this is the end. What are we going to do?
What did she say?
Oh, something's the end. What's the matter, Trot? Do you want a hand?
I'll manage. Wait until you see them.
Why, what's the matter with them?
My dears, they're alive.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. What shall we do about them? The poor things.
Oh, we'll have to kill them. Someone will have to.
Not me. Did you ever see such odd-looking birds? I wonder if they're hens or roosters.
What does that matter, Blanche?
Well, if they're hens, they might lay. It'd be better to keep them.
Oh, you'd better put them out in the yard. Ask the others what they think about it.
Oh, how'll we keep them in the yard? They'll get out. If anyone else sees them, they'll very smartly go off.
Well, we could tie them by their legs to that little bush for the time being. I'll get a bowl of water for them.
They can get all the water they want out there at the moment. The yard's an absolute lake.
Oh, let's get them outside anyway.
So we took them outside and made them as comfortable as we could. They looked very woebegone as they stood under the bush, wet and bedraggled. I can't possibly describe a palembang fowl, except that it has long, lean legs and a high, thin body. We had a meeting of the whole 32 sisters to discuss the problem of the chooks. There were great arguments as to whether they were hens or roosters, so we decided to keep them for a day or two to see if they laid any eggs. A couple of days later, during siesta...
Blanche, did you hear that?
Hmm?
Blanche, wake up. Oh, how can you sleep with this endless babble going on outside? I just can't understand it. It's maddening.
She lies on a good ear.
Well, I thought I heard... Oh, there it is again. It's a rooster crowing.
You're right, Trot, it is. Come on, quick, let's see which one it is.
What's going on?
Oh, for goodness sake, what's all the excitement?
One of the chooks crowed. We must see which one it is.
But don't dash out and frighten them. They'll never crow.
Come on, kids, one of the hens is a rooster.
Oh, which one was it?
That's it, the one in the middle. It's a rooster.
One down, two to go. Mm. We'd better wait another day to see if the others crow too.
Oh, you're just putting off the evil day.
Well, anyway, it'd be better to have them all in one meal. One at a time, they wouldn't go far.
Oh, you haven't got much to crow about now, old thing. You've signed your death warrant.
Yeah, sister, tiga lacky lacky. What on earth's that odd noise?
It's Trot.
Huh?
She's saying something over to herself.
Ethel? Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you, Blanche.
What were you saying when you came in, Trot?
Well, I was out in the yard watching the fowls when through the door trotted old Omar, you know, the Malay grandmother from next door.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I know. Well, what did she want?
Well, she came to look at the fowls, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She just smiled and said, Oh, now, don't tell me I've forgotten it.
Oh, come on, quick.
Yeah.
Hmm?
What was it?
Oh, Trot.
Yeah, sister. Tiga lucky lucky. Now, what does that mean?
Tiga lucky lucky. Well, literally, it means, yes, sister, three husbands.
Well, that'll be nice for you, Trot.
What will?
Three husbands.
Well, I thought she was talking about the birds. Do you mean to say she's a fortune teller and was telling my future? Oh, dear.
Of course she meant the birds. Jeff's being facetious. Well, that settled it. They must go into the oil tin to cook.
Now, who's going to kill them? Well, I think we'd better draw straws to settle that one, Wynne.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Jeff. They'd grow old and die a natural death before most of us would tackle it otherwise.
We all gathered and drew little scraps of paper out of the tin hat. Two of them had a cross on them, and Mavis Hanna and Elizabeth Simons drew them. They set off very unwillingly to do the job, and the rest of us got very busy in other parts of the camp. We'd grown quite fond of our birds.
The latest gossip around the camp is the future existence of another camp for the married couple.
Oh, when is this supposed to happen, Blanche?
Oh, this year, next year, sometime, heaven knows. Great excitement among the Dutch.
I suppose so. They'd be the most affected by it.
According to rumor, the husbands, brothers, and sons will leave the men's camp, and their wives, sisters, and daughters leave here.
Well, this would make a little more room here for the rest of us.
Yes.
But I don't see the Japs really doing anything so sensible.
Nor do I. Still, you never know.
Hey, Jeff!
Huh?
Blanche! Come quickly!
That's Wynne calling. Something's happened. Come on.
Well, everyone seems to be running. Please. What could it be?
What's the matter?
What is it?
Got away.
How on earth?
It flew up under the roof. We've got to try and catch it.
Sure, you silly bird. Oh, get down.
Oh, listen to Trot.
Here. Dilly, dilly. Shoo. Dilly, come and be killed.
Why dilly, dilly?
Oh, you know the old nursery rhyme.
No, and I don't think the rooster does either.
Oh, now, don't be a silly old cow. Come down here.
Whether it was Trot's influence or the poor rooster finding the strain of being chased by so many females too much, we don't know. But after a little while, it came down and was caught without much trouble. Next day, we had one glorious meal of chicken, quite a good portion each, and two lots of chicken broth, in spite of there only being three thin fowls between 32 hungry women. Some of the Dutch women are very sad today. They were told by the Japs that the bigger boys will be transferred to the men's camp immediately. I suppose, in a way, it's right. One lad is over 6 feet, though he's only 12. He lives with his mother, three sisters, and young brother in one tiny room. But we shall all miss them. They're such a help to the whole camp as well as to their mothers. And they, poor souls, don't know if they'll ever see their sons again. On Thursday evenings, we all gather outside House 5, where the British Commandant lives, and listen to half-hourly talks given by different members of the camp. We've heard about working in a cotton mill, behind the footlights on a London stage, life of Chopin, and many other interesting subjects. One of our girls, Shirley Gardam, told us about Tasmania. The rest of us decided we should repay the others for their entertainment, and so we staged a play.
Jean! Jean Ashton!
Yes? Yes, Del?
Except for the dress rehearsal of the play?
Yes, I've got everything.
Well, look, you've got to announce the players. We can't get enough paper for a program, and you're not on till the last bit, so do you think you can do it?
As long as I don't have to remember it.
Oh, no. We had enough paper for one copy. Well, here it is. Now, see if you can read my scrawl. I'll see you at the rehearsal.
Right. Now, let's see. Palabang Players present... The Palabang Players present The Trials of Miranda, a Mella Bella drama in one scene. The following members will appear. Percival de Hogarth will be played by Sister Blanche. Miranda Goodchild, Sister McElnay. Arthur Beaumont, Sister Geoffrey. Vera de Hogarth, Sister Delforce. Baron Goodchild, Sister Short. And Baroness Goodchild, Sister Ashton.
That's me. Get on with it, Jean.
The scene is set in the family seat.
Shouldn't that be at the family seat?
Of Baron Goodchild, somewhere in England. Outside their seat.
Oh, that can't be right.
Oh, it is snowing. Inside, the villainous Percival de Hogarth and our heroine Miranda Goodchild are deep in converse.
Aha!
Yes?
Wait a bit, I haven't said the lines yet. Aha, my pretty, the castle is deserted. I have you at my mercy.
Yes?
'Tis no use for you to utter screams for help. You are in my power. Twirl's moustache advanced menacingly and clasps Miranda in close embrace. Aha!
Let me go till I scream. Help!
Villain! Unhand that lady!
Aha! You said that, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you.
Who are you, scum?
I, sir, am Arthur Beaumont. I've come to claim this lady's fair hand.
Oh, zounds, 'tis young Beaumont, the Duke's son. You come too late, my lord. 12 o'clock by my gold watch and chain. I have claimed her hand and her fortune as my own.
Miranda, is this so?
Yes.
But, Miranda, I thought it was me whom you loved.
Oh, yes.
Then has this villain foisted his vile attentions on you against your will?
Yes.
Then, Percival Hogarth, draw your sword, and I will teach you a bitter lesson.
Stop!
Who is this that cries? Stop!
It's Dale. Oh. 'Tis my sister, the Lady Vera.
Stop, I say. Put up your sword.
Blanche, you nearly brained me.
Lady Vera, have the goodness to refrain from interfering.
Ouch!
Oh, I'm wounded. I am undone. Oh, oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord Arthur, I have done for you.
Oh, brother, you have acted foolishly. I have but an hour since learned that Miranda Goodchild is penniless.
What? Odd's truth, what's this you say, sister?
Tis true. Her father is not dead, and she is penniless until his death.
Is this true, girl?
Ah, oh, yes.
You see, brother, she admits it, the minx.
Cad, here's a pother. What to do? Ah!
What do you mean? Aha!
Hurry up, this floor's hard.
Wait a bit. Oh, yes. The problem resolves on the death of your father, Miranda.
Oh, yes.
So?
I see it all. He must die. Aha!
Bus, cross, and sit.
What?
Bus, cross, and sit.
Bus, you ass, it's business.
It says bus here.
You shouldn't be reading your part on a dress rehearsal. Anyway, bus is short for business.
Well, what's it mean?
Cross and sit.
Funny way of saying it. Anyway, it says cross and sit.
Oh, get on with it, you two. I'm getting cramp lying here.
Oh, sorry, old thing. Now, where were we? Oh, yes.
He must die.
You can arrange that, brother. With ease. Ecod, I wasn't known as Percy the Poisoner for nothing, Vera.
Come, let us away.
Not so fast, brother.
Oh, that doesn't sound right, Dell.
Oh, well, how's this?
Not so fast, brother.
Yeah, that's better.
What will we do with the girl?
Laughs villainously.
Take her with us.
Do you hear that, girl? You come with us.
Oh, yes.
Exit humming hurry music. Dum-dilly-um,
dum-dilly-um, dum-dilly-um, dum-dilly-um.
What's that?
Menacing music. Come on, Del, we're off.
They have left me. Am I to die? Ah, no, not yet. Not yet. I am too young to die.
What'd you say, Jeff? Are we still supposed to be on there with you?
Oh, no, shut up, Del. I'm soliloquizing.
Oh, all right, eh?
I cannot thus be cut off in the flowerhood of my youth. It is cruel. Cruel. What is that?
It's me. I tripped over a box.
Shut up, Shorty. What is that? Does someone approach? Oh, I swoon. I swoon.
How now? 'Tis a sorry welcome for a father's return. Where is my daughter? I had thought she would come tripping to meet her fond papa.
If someone doesn't move that box, she will, flat on her face.
But the old castle has an empty ring to it. Is autumn, miss? Gadzooks, what's this? 'Tis young Arthur Beaumont. He is hurt.
So would you be if Blanche has clocked you with a whacking great lump of wood.
Can he be dead? Ah, no, he cannot die. He is too young to die. The good Lord would not let him die. Egad, he is dead. 'Tis a sorry blow to an old man.
Hey, that's us, Blanche. We're on.
Ha ha! Oh, drat that box.
Did I hear some sound?
You'd be deaf if you didn't.
So, barren good child, you have returned. It was reported to me that you were dead.
Dead?
Yes, dead.
Quite dead.
You mean dead?
That's right. No life in you.
Shut up, Jeff. And while you live, your daughter is naught but a penniless orphan.
Oh, that can't be right. Penniless outcast, that is.
And who, sir, are you?
I'm not sir at all. It's Blanche.
Oh, sorry. Then who, sir, are you?
Percival Delgarth. And this is my sister, the Lady Vera.
My felicitations, ma'am.
Waste not soft words upon me, sirrah. You are about to die and leave your fortune to your daughter, my brother's future wife.
What's this? Where is my child?
Here she is.
Oh, no, she's not. Where are you, Mac?
Mac, where are you?
Oh, yes.
You're on.
Oh. Here is your child. Take your last fond farewell of her.
Miranda, do you know what plot these vile villains have afoot?
Yes.
Here, one last drink before you die.
Puts poison in glass. Well, here, Shorty, hold the glass while I get the stuff in.
All right, eh?
Here, Baron, drink.
Oh, no, that should be here, Baron, comma, drink.
Stop! Do not drink. Poiled.
Who's this?
Die, Baroness Goodchild. Miranda, do you know your mother, child?
Ah, yes.
My wife.
Husband, I have come home. Just in time, it seems. Percival Dogarth, I know all. Your class is unmasked.
All is lost. All is lost. We are penniless, brother. We are ruined.
Dear Lady Vera, dry your eyes on this 50-pound note. Now go, both of you, and never come back to Goodchild Castle again.
Come, sister, we will start life anew and try to be better human beings.
Curse that ruddy box. It's ruined me, Ex.
Who lies a wounded here?
'Tis Lord Arthur Beaumont. He would wed our daughter, but he is dead.
Dead? Never. 'Tis the merest flesh wound. Have him put in a south-south-east wing, and we shall nurse him back to health. And when he recovers, he shall marry Miranda. And it shall please her?
Ah, yes.
Come, let us repair to the long drawing room. We have much to say to each other.
Oh, I never felt so nervous.
Come on, Jeff, that's the end.
Jeff,
get up. Jeff, what's the matter?
Oh, for heaven's sake, I didn't really brain her in the fight, did I?
Oh, what do you know? She's asleep.
We presented our melodrama, which turned out to be uproariously funny, as most of us overlooked the fact that we had an audience, and it turned out more or less the same as it had at dress rehearsal. It is still terribly hot, and standing in Tenko is becoming a nightmare. Although, the other day...
Let me stagger back to the house and fall over.
An hour and a half in that sun has just about killed me.
Yeah, me too, Jean.
Well, did you see that?
See what? All I can see is heat haze.
That Jap guard. Banana Johnny. Oh,
really, Shorty? Where do you get those names from?
What'd he do?
Saluted us.
What? And I missed it.
Well, he saluted us both coming and going.
Oh, who's won a battle lately?
It's absolutely unheard of. Things are looking up.
All the same, Jeff says we haven't got our once weekly meat bones this week. You can't eat salutes.
Rice has been reduced to one cigarette tin per person per day. No meat bones. And still the water is turned off. And Go Leng doesn't bring us any sugar at all now. He says he can't get any. The bright side of that story is that Australian sugar must still be Australian owned.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.